The government wants to tackle higher commodities prices by curbing speculation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiotakis. In Washington today, in about half an hour, there's going to be a key meeting of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. That commission is expected to vote in new restrictions on trading in raw materials that are crucial to the global economy. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
The new rules are aimed at preventing excessive speculation for things like corn or oil. Sharp price swings can hamper economic growth and harm consumers when they flow through to the grocery store and the gas pump. The CFTC plans to limit the futures contracts a trader can hold. Backers of financial reform say that's necessary to make sure that speculators can't drive prices up or down and make a killing. But business professor Peter Wells at Cardiff University says what's really driving commodity prices higher is rising demand in the developing world.
As economies in China, India, and so forth have grown, we have started to experience, perhaps for the first time in a generation, a significant and probably enduring increase in those commodity prices.
The financial industry says the rules are too restrictive and could force market players like Morgan Stanley and Cargill to scale back their trading operations. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Moody's has told France, one of Europe's biggest economies, that its top AAA credit rating is being reviewed and could be given a negative outlook because of the country's financial strength has been, quote, weakened. The BBC's Hugh Schofield is with us now from Paris with the latest. Hi, Hugh.
Hello.
What has been the official reaction in France?
Well, they're worried, and they've admitted that this is something they've got to keep their eyes on. And François Baroin, who's the finance minister, has effectively said that the government will take steps to make sure that it does preserve its triple A rating. And that, we're interpreting, will mean that they may well have to have more austerity, a new addition to the budget in the weeks or months ahead, if this threat begins to become more real.
What is so important, Hugh, about what Moody's had to say about France today?
Well, it wasn't a downgrading of the credit rating, but it was a warning. And, you know, as such, it's already set the alarm bells ringing. It said that there was a stable outlook at the moment, but this stable outlook might change, and that therefore the agency is going to keep France under review for the next 3 months. So it really is a kind of warning to France to make sure that in the next 3 months nothing happens to make the agency change its credit rating and mark it down. And so, you know, it is something which the government here takes very seriously, because, you know, if the credit rating changes, so of course does the cost of its debt.
The BBC's Hugh Schofield in Paris. Hugh, thank you so much.
Thank you very much to you.
Let's do the numbers. Well, numbers are down. The market's down in Europe and Asia. Wholesale prices rose in September here in this country by 0.8%. Most of that, food and gasoline. Bank of America said today it swung to a profit of around $6 billion last quarter, thanks in part to the sale of a Chinese bank. Investment bank Goldman Sachs went the other way, swinging to a near $500 million loss for only the second time in its history. Yesterday, the Dow fell 247 points to end the day at 11,397.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at NovoNordisk-US.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Justin Bieber's new Christmas single is out today. Yeah, I know, it's October. His full Christmas album, Under the Mistletoe, will be out in a couple of weeks. As Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, holiday albums like this make nice stocking stuffers for the music industry.
Justin Bieber wants to cozy up this holiday season. And who can blame him?
Everybody's still demanding holiday records.
David Bakula is a VP of analytics at the Nielsen Company.
You know, if you look at last year's top sellers, the number five record of the year for the entire year last year was Susan Boyle's holiday record. You know, and you're talking about a record here that came out the first week of November.
The thing with holiday music is that we still buy whole albums. We buy CDs even. Aram Sinreich is a media professor at Rutgers University.
Holiday music looks more like the music industry did back in the 1990s.
Why? Well, because a lot of these albums are sold as presents.
People prefer to get gifts that are actually material. Nobody wants to open a box and see nothing inside it and someone say, oh, well, what I got you is just a bunch of ones and zeros. Don't worry, it'll show up on your computer tomorrow.
Big sales of whole albums aren't the only reasons artists rush to belt out Jingle Bells and Oh Holy Night. Sean Ross is the VP of Music and Programming for Edison Research. He says a couple of decades ago, studios had an epiphany.
Holiday albums were a good way to sell records by artists who weren't top of mind anymore in pop culture and who didn't necessarily get a lot of radio airplay.
Think Neil Diamond, Wilson Phillips, Amy Grant, even Mariah Carey, whose modern standard, All I Want for Christmas Is You, is likely no more than a month away from your radio dial. Okay, less than a month. A lot less. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
It's going to be in my head all day. Finally, Saturday Night Live spoofed New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg over the weekend about the Occupy Wall Street protest going on in New York.
Occupy Wall Street, I'm on your side. Come to New York and let your voice be heard. You will be treated with dignity and respect by the city and the police. With one caveat. The second, and I mean the second I see a demonstrator lighting up a cigarette, we're moving in.
Bloomberg was played by cast member Fred Armisen, but the mayor says next time SNL does a skit involving him, he wants to play the role. Bloomberg tells the New York Post he has a Screen Actors Guild card and everything, and that he would love to negotiate with the producers over how much he would get paid. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. You can find the latest numbers there, the podcast too, and share your thoughts with us, marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Standardized testing, love it or hate it, it's part of the curriculum. But what happens now that teachers have skin in the game?
A bunch of students had left a number of questions blank, and then they all, on the last seven questions of the exam, had given the exact same answers. It certainly looked like someone else had maybe filled in the answers for them.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, another installment of Freakonomics Radio. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.